Hello, everyone. Today, we'll talk about dealing with MySQL bottlenecks. We have a lot of material to cover and not a lot of time, so let's get going. In this presentation, we will focus about the traffic spikes. That means about the problems which are sudden, right? Yesterday, MySQL was working just fine, and today it just cannot keep up. And that means we are focused on something which you can do right now, implement in a few hours or maybe days, not weeks or months, because, well, you don't have as much time when you're dealing with traffic spikes. Also, I have written a companion article which talks about some of those tips and ideas in more details, which I suggest you can check out. So let's go straight to some tips. The first one, especially if you running in the cloud, is what you can scale your cloud instance, which is kind of obvious. What may not be is how large you can actually go, right? In the Amazon cloud, for example, you can go to hundreds of logical processors and terabytes of RAM. So if money is not an option, you can really often get all your database into memory and get really, really good performance, which is often good to use at least as a temporary solution until you can find some more cost-effective options, or at least when traffic spikes down. The good thing, of course, in the cloud, while you can all scale up, you can also scale down without having to make the commitment for a long time. Tip number two is to deploy more MySQL replicas, right? Know though that this is works best for intensive applications, and it also is limited in terms of gains you can get, because you need multiple copies of data you can pay for, and caching would not be very efficient in this case, because pretty much any replica would have a same data in memory unless you do something special. The next tip would be to deploy Proxy SQL, which is another secret weapon you can use for multiple of reasons. It can be the great connection pooling, if that is a problem, can see the read-write splitting, so you can utilize your replicas better. It supports the query caching with TTL, so you can really even handle some queries on the Proxy SQL side and not hit MySQL to begin with, so it is wonderful in many ways. But also note what the Proxy SQL is not 100% MySQL compatible, and some applications adjustments may be required to do that. The next idea would be to disable heavy load application features. And while this can be frowned upon and saying, oh, well, that's kind of cheating, actually it is a great practice in many cases to remove those lower value features, or maybe some, you know, background jobs that you have, to keep the most high value features working with a great performance. It also can be applied to specific users too, right? Maybe you have some abusive users, right? Or maybe users which have too much load throttling them some way, or limited their features can provide you, help you to have a great service to everybody else. The next thing to think about is resource bottlenecks. Okay, what are those resource bottlenecks which impact MySQL performance? Well, these are typically those four: your CPU, your memory, your disk storage, and of course, the network, right? If you understand what resource is being most used, you can scale that resource in particular. For example, you can get more CPU cores or faster cores. In this case, what you should check is how is your CPU used. Are you seeing what overall CPU utilization is high, or do you have some of the cores which are pegged at 100%, right? In the first case, you would want more cores. In a second, your workload may be single threaded and you need a faster core instead. In addition to looking at the velocization graphs, it is a great idea also to take a look at the run queue latency. That pretty much tells how much time passes before the process is ready to run on CPU, and then it actually gets the CPU available to run, right? And it should be low if it goes into, you know, high numbers, like it's you're waiting for, you know, many milliseconds to run to get scheduled, then that adds up to the latency and creates bad user experience. The next thing to consider is CPU steering, especially for some instances in the cloud virtualized instance, and you may not be getting all the CPU what you think you are, and that can be the cause of substantial slowdowns. You also should consider using compute-optimized CPUs if a CPU is a bottleneck. It is not going to give you massive improvements compared to a general purpose instance that the clouds have, but it can give you maybe another, you know, 20% more runway, which may be important. Memory is another key item. Memory is used by database first and foremost for caching the data, and accessing the data in memory is much, much faster, even if compared to fastest SSD storage. And also what is important, what processing the data in memory compared to fetching it from the disk and then processing stays a lot of the CPU cycles. So that is another benefit you get. Note though, what while having a data in memory can eliminate all the read loads, you still would need to have a write that's hitting the disk, right? Because, well, you have to persist the data on the disk in the end. You also do not want to run out of virtual memory, because if that happens, then your database will crash. It will go through a long process of crash recovery, right, which can even aggregate the problem. I like having the systems configured with swap, and actually swap utilization for a bit is okay, especially those days with a fast SSD storage. What you don't want is to have a swap activity being a very, very significant. In many cases, you would be thinking about, okay, how much memory my processes are using. If you're faced with this question, I would suggest not to upset a virtual memory. With some processes, especially written in Golang, maybe excessively large, but that doesn't mean anything because that's memory allocated and never really used, right? What you want to look at the resident and swap, which tells us how much memory is either actually committed and the real RAM is used or was swapped out, right? And potentially will need to be swapped in if that application is active. Now, as I mentioned, memory is faster than a fastest storage, but in certain cases, you just can't get your database all in memory. It's just not practical. And also you need a fast storage for performance, right? And what is important in this case is for fast write performance is you want to focus on the latency, especially latency of such operations as fsync rather than the bandwidth, right? Because a lot of storage will advertise their performance in terms of their bandwidth, how many megabytes per second they can write, right? Or IOPS per second they can do. That is not what you care about. You should care about the latency of a single threaded IOPS. That is what often becomes the challenge. You need to understand what type of IO activity your system is having to optimize the system properly. And in many cases, it is a great idea to look at your disk performance and compare it to the historical latency, right? How do you know if your disk is overloaded and can't keep up with the load? What really happens in this case is what you would see your latency spike compared to historical averages, right, and what normal for that storage is. And then you would know you need to probably get some more, you know, disk capacity or reduce the disk load by adding more memory or something else. Something that you always have to care of databases is also looking at the fsync as a very special kind of I/O, right, which can be often the bottleneck. Another thing what you do not often get if your typical VM stats graphs is their latency distribution, right, which you can get with tools like BioLatency. You want to make sure that you are not getting the large outliers. Why is that? Because outliers can be very bad for database. Think about if your log write stalls, right? When that happens, when whole database stalls, and it doesn't matter what, there could be other IOs going very fast at that time, right? With database, you just want to make sure the storage performs very consistently. With your network, you want to think about the three components, the bandwidth, the latency, and the packet loss. In terms of bandwidth, I would suggest you to check how much network traffic you're really having and compare that to what you expect your capacity is, both in terms of your local network card as well as a general your network infrastructure. You also want to check the latency. And again, if latency, the idea is not to just check it once, but understand what the distribution is, because delays, even for some small portion of the packets, can significantly reduce your performance. The other thing to consider in a network, and which is also often omitted, is retransmits. How many packets are dropped or corrupted and they have to be retransmitted, right? That can be a really big problem, because the transmits can add specific amount, a large amount of latency. Here is the cool tool which you can consider called TCP retrans. It actually can tell you what connections have suffered from those retransmits, which then using MySQL process list, you can often connect to specific clients and maybe explain to people why particular connections were suffering or something which would not be seen on a MySQL query, because MySQL may be thinking what it is pointing to a query is very fast, but it actually takes a lot of time to propagate. Next tip is you want to locate and optimize the queries which cause the load on your system. In this case, and you can use the tools like PMM, what I can show here, or like some other tools of your choice. Looking at the query execution details, you often can find what exactly is causing the query to run slow, and so how to fix it. You also want to check the explain. Explain is a very important tool both for developers and DBAs to use to make sure that you have your queries in a good standing order. The next idea would be to add missing indexes, right? That is a very, very important task, because missing index can cause query to run thousands of times slower than it should be. And frankly, most applications have some indexes which are missing in our experience. You also want to drop unneeded indexes, because those are expensive, and actually expensive both for reads and writes, right? Drop duplicate near indexes or others. You can use Percona toolkit or SysSchema to find the duplicate index you can have. You also want to make sure to configure MySQL Server properly. MySQL defaults are not designed really for large scale production load. If you're looking to top MySQL settings to change, I would check out at least those. In their new MySQL versions, you can also use the option InnoDB dedicated server, which will adjust InnoDB related options. But I would still pay attention to other options as well. The next thing you want to may ask me, what about Linux, right? Well, Linux is actually pretty good at self-tuning, right? And you may be able to tune something out there, but it generally does okay with defaults, not as MySQL Server. The most important thing in Linux you typically deal with is limiting number of open files for MySQL process, right? Because if you don't have that, had substantially high, you wouldn't be able to accept many connection or may open many tables to work with efficiently. So check that out. Another idea would be to ensure you are purging unneeded data. Many databases keep the data which is not needed to real the operational stuff. Some old copies of a database, just some old data logs and so on and so forth, right? Which you often can use to move to a different server or move to archival storage. We actually have a tool for that in PureConner Toolkit called PT Archiver, or of course you can use other tools. But of course, be careful because archiving the data would cause additional limit value to allow. The database maintenance kind of lies in the same order. In many cases, database can benefit and run faster after maintenance, after you analyze or optimize the table, but this operation itself is expensive. So you want to be careful. Here is how you can optimize all the tables if you like. The next tip is to check your background jobs. In many cases, background jobs are not considered as performance critical, and often they are not optimized very well, but they are often create a lot of a side load, right, which is a problematic. And you can optimize them, maybe you can move them to replicas, or maybe you can even delay them until traffic flows by pass. Check out for data hotspots. That is another important item, because in many cases application, maybe you may see what you're not seeing any high resource usage, but things just run very slowly. Why? Because of row level locks, right? Which happen from data hotspots, and you can resolve them in many cases and make application to run much faster. Data hotspots also can additionally cause excessive errors due rollbacks and lock wait timeouts, which can aggregate the problems for you, especially because many applications do not handle errors and rollbacks everywhere. Right. So if you are using PMM, you can actually look at the specific queries which are having issues, like an example here, where lock time takes largest percent for query execution time. Finally, we get to our 18th tip of checking your application server configuration. That is also where you can often get a substantial amount of benefits, especially in a complicated client drivers such as GDBC, which has a lot of tuning options. So as a summary, well, you should not panic if you have a MySQL traffic spike. As you can see, there is many tools available for you. I'm not expecting for you to go ahead and pursue all 18 of them and others as well at the same time, but you often can choose a few of them to use, right, which are easiest in your environment, to get at least 3x more traffic handling capacity from your system with relatively low hanging fruit, or maybe more. With it, that's all I have for you, and I'll be happy to answer some questions.